So, you're happy here? You like it here? Not sure. It's better than the place previously, isn't it? With the staying there with all those jivas who are not very Krishna conscious. This reminds me, in my youth, I spent from the age of 22 up to about 30, I was extensively traveling in the villages in Bangladesh, and it was like this. There was no electricity, mud houses, more kacha, or more. Maybe you can say less developed than these ones. Mostly not tile roofs, mostly thatch roofs. And they're not solid and strong like this. The clay, the mud in Bengal is very soft. So practically every day you have to rebuild it. Some of the mud comes out, you have to put it back like this. And it was common, the floods, and then after the floods, people would rebuild their whole house, they'd all get washed away. So. But actually this atmosphere is much more conducive for spiritual life. It's another thing I often found when traveling in Bangladesh, that we just arrived. Sometimes we'd arrive in a village without them even knowing we were coming. It didn't happen very often, because mostly they knew in advance. But oftentimes we'd go and it might be I was staying in a town for some days and someone would say, come to my village. And I just go without, and there'd be no advance notice. There's no way to tell them, there's no phone or any such thing. So we just arrive unannounced. And people would be doing kirtan. It's a common thing. What are you going to do after dark? Their culture is to do kirtan. This is very ordinary, common thing people would do. So now you're morning, after dark here, you can come and join the kirtan. And it's not so easy to do other things, is it? Traditionally also, you see that, of course, I may feel a little inconvenienced because I want to write. I have this burning in my mind all the time. Write. So, but traditionally that would finish by dusk. Writing would finish dawn to dusk. You can study and writing. Study doesn't go on after sunset. So many great books were written, but not after dark. That came later, that Prabhupada himself said, he used to study by the oil lamp. That means for his college. But there's a Shastric rule also, that after dark, there's no more study. But it's not like reading and writing, but certainly kirtan and discussion of Shastric topics, that would go on. Hearing. Not official teaching, but hearing in this sense of hearing. There may be some lectures, Mahabharata, Ramayana, all these discussions. So that was the culture. Electricity has indirectly destroyed that. Because with electricity, then there's TV, and then there's all hell. Everything else comes. Now I see in Bangladesh, electricity is everywhere, TV is everywhere, and kirtan is not so common. People watch TV. So this is nice. We want to show. Prabhupada wanted to show to the world. He had such an ambitious plan to change the world. Because Harenama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Harenama is the only way for spiritual perfection in this age. But Prabhupada saw that people don't have time, and nor the inclination. The modern society makes people into demons. So this simple life is very conducive for spiritual advancement. And although people in the modern age can't imagine living without electricity, but the whole human race up to the present time did so. Srila Prabhupada often discussed that also, how they say previously people were backward. Well, look at the kind of literature that Vyasadeva has given. This is not the work of a backward person. Because the people, the Prabhupada is saying, they think because they don't have electricity, they're backward. But as Prabhupada often used to say, simple living and high thinking. And actually, yeah, the whole, it becomes conducive to peaceful, satmic atmosphere in which it's the culture, the consciousness can be uplifted. With the modern culture, there's through TV, newspapers, and computers, there's so much information coming at you. You drive on the road, there's so many billboards, there's so much information and impressions coming at you all the time. But the peaceful introspectiveness by which one can understand or even begin to think about what the highest truth is, that is actually impeded by the bombardment of useless information. So people think that it's very advanced to have all these things, but people don't understand that advancement means advancement of consciousness. An advancement of consciousness is not necessarily synonymous with gathering lots of information about useless things. It may be that someone is not very educated, but their consciousness is very high. Whereas someone else is superficially very educated, but their consciousness is very low. People put more emphasis on intelligence, and they consider intelligence to be the ability to manipulate the material energy in various ways, or to acquire lots. Well, especially that's technological, scientific and technological knowledge is utilized to manipulate the material energy in various ways. And there are other fields of knowledge also, like history and philosophy. There's not much interest in philosophy these days of any kind, even stupid things what they call philosophy. Even that, they're not interested. What to speak of real philosophy? So, you're reading this Encyclopedia of Religions. It's an encyclopedia of speculations, which are kind of somewhat going in the right direction, but no real direction how to go there. They kind of got, some of them have got something like the right idea, and a lot of wrong ideas mixed up. I didn't read it, but I can just imagine what it is. So Srila Prabhupada, he'd often present Krishna consciousness as actually something very simple. There are just some very simple things to be understood. But not understanding this, we become so unnecessarily complicated. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given Jeev Krishna Das Ebishas Korleta Ardukana. Is that everything? The whole philosophy of Krishna consciousness can be expanded from this. These few words, Jeev, I'm not this body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Well, that's the next point. Jeev Krishna Das. It is Krishna. And who is Krishna? And that we have to understand. I am servant, he is the master. And just Avishvas, to trust this. And people say, prove it. Well, you can't prove it. I mean, prove me, what do you want to do? You want to mix up some chemicals and then some genie is going to pop out of the chemicals and say, Jeev Krishna Das. Even then you wouldn't believe it. It's not... Krishna is aprameya. He's not, by definition, he's not measurable. So you say, prove it. Well, it's not provable by according to your standards. It doesn't fit in your... It doesn't... What you want or desire or you think should be the criterion for understanding. It's not at all. Your approach, if you say prove it, in the very beginning your approach is flawed, because Krishna is not to be proved or disproved by any mundane methods. So Vishwas, some faith is required, not foolish faith, not blind faith. And then karleta ardukana, and then all problems solved. Justice. So in many ways it's very simple, and you don't have to be a big scholar to understand. If we do understand this, then automatically we are the greatest scholar. And if we don't understand this, then we can have so much big philosophy discussion, this, that, and but if we don't understand this basic point, Hare Krishna. If we don't understand this basic point, then it's all useless. That's why you're asking about this, Swarasiki Upasana, which basically means, I suppose, I never heard the term before, but I can imagine, it means imagining oneself to be a gopi. Yeah, all right, that's very good. But first, let's get this in order. Jeev Krishna Das Avishras Korleta Ardukanai. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. When we got that absolutely fully, that's understood, then any way that will come, you don't have to make any separate endeavor. When that's understood, then everything else will come naturally. You ever heard that before? Everything else will come. So you don't have to artificially try. Everything will come. Just by understanding, and this upasana. Upasana means seva. Upasana literally means come close by service. Upasana, it means worship. It's translated as worship. That's the translation. There may not be any exact English word. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying this word bhakti. Actually, there's no equivalent in English for the word. We say worship, devotion. There's no actual equivalent in English. Nor is it properly. Even, what's the translation of bhakti in Tamil?
Bhakti.
Bhakti, yeah. But what you think is bhakti, what the average Tamil person thinks is bhakti, is not what Vyasadeva is writing about. So what you say in Tamil is, I know the translation is bhakti. I happen to know that. But what you say is bhakti, what the average Tamil person says bhakti, they don't know what Vyasadeva is writing. To understand this word, then we have to hear from acharyas who understand the import of Shastra. So it's very simple. Jeev Krishna Das Abhishas Korleta Ardukana. Just understand, I am eternal servant of Krishna. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then I have no more problems. All problems. Dukkha. What is dukkha? Janma mritu jaravyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. The entanglement in material life, the miseries of repeated birth and death, that's automatically finished by understanding this one point. Understanding means accepting that it's very similar, but it may not be so easy. We presume that we've all understood this, so now we'll just become gopis. Yeah, I understood. I got my Bhakti Shastri degree. You see, I wrote the constitutional position of the jiva is certain. I got my Bhakti Shastri. So now I'm ready for swarasakhi upasana. Now I'm ready to become a gopi. But it's simple, but it may not be so easy also, due to our wicked intelligence. Therefore, again, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, all the acharya, Dushtaman, Tumi Kishe Vaishnava, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, what rascal mind? What kind of a Vaishnava are you? Bhajare Bhajare Man Atimanda, Bhaja Braja Bane Radha Krishna Charanaravinda. That is our object of worship, Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. But first, rascal mind. Understand, mind is rascalish. So, all these points are easier to understand if we cultivate the higher consciousness, Krishna consciousness, which is imbibed by hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of devotees. This facility gives us more facility. You may think we have less facilities here. But actually there's more facility for hearing and chanting. There's less facility for doing other things. But that means automatically there's more facility for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So that's better, isn't it? And that whole lifestyle that Prabhupada wanted to give, that people would... Of course, this is a temple project. But in the farm communities that Srila Prabhupada wanted to establish, there may not be some big, big temple. Maybe. But that's the big temple that is for preaching to the masses. But it's also, it's a big thing to maintain, and unless there are rich sponsors, then the big temples fall into disrepair and they can't be maintained properly. We see all over Tamil Nadu so many big temples. Vishnu temples, Shiva temples, mostly these two. I think Vishnu temples are probably more, the big ones. There are many Shiva temples, but I think more. When I'm talking about the old, ancient ones. In that area, that Kumbakonam to Tanjore. If you drive in there, you see so many big temples. And all over Tamil Nadu, especially in this state. But they're in disrepair. They were built. At that time, they were big, they were kings, and they were giving money for that, but now there's no kings to maintain. So, building a big temple, it's a big endeavor. It's for preaching Krishna consciousness, but another preaching is to show, or not only show, but to provide the facility by which people can live simply and chant Hare Krishna without any big burdens. A big burden. Now, modern Indian life means everyone has debts. They're buying a house, they're buying a car, they're buying for the poorer people, even to buy a scooter, then they're in debt for that. So many burdens. But if we live simply, then we don't have so many material facilities, but more material facilities means more material burdens also. Again, to Bangladesh, one devotee, one of my disciples, was telling me that we have everything we need, we produce everything we need. We have fields, not much, but they have fields. They produce rice, mustard oil. There's no electricity, so they don't have electricity bills. And but we say we have everything we need, but we don't have any money. So he works as a carpenter also. So they need a little money to come into the city and visit the temple, and people feel they need to have... It's difficult to live in the modern age, it's true, without money. Prabhupada, he was... Prabhupada's great revolution, that he wanted these fungyundis with no money. No money, then there's no nonsense. Just produce whatever you need. And traditionally people lived without money. Most people didn't have money. You just live simply and chant Hare Krishna, that's all. So, all these things, living simply, higher consciousness. To live like, who can live like this? Prabhupada, he said that we cannot live simply unless we have bhakti. That be people who are used to this, all modern facilities, they're not going to come and live like this unless they have a higher principle, unless they understand the higher principle. They'll want to come. Yeah, I don't have material facilities, but I have spiritual facilities. So. It is difficult in some ways, although you get used to it.